You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast, the American podcast about the Canadian Football League. My name's Oz Davis. I'll be your co-host for the show. Joining me, as always, is my co-host representing Wisconsin and that football machine in Winnipeg known as the Blue Bombers, Joe Pritchard. Joe, how you doing this week?
Yay! They didn't blow it.
Really? You're really going to take that attitude? Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to this later on. Alongside Joe and I today, as always, although not last week, is the Titan of Touchback, the Sultan of the Single. It's Dr. Rouge.
Dr. Rouge. There is no such thing as the single. Do not call it the single.
But he also called it a touchback. You should yell at him for that, too.
Well, no. I'll forgive the touchback faux pas, but the single, that goes too far. Not, right? It is a rouge.
Yes, right? But even, look, I needed a synonym.
Oz.
I needed a synonym.
Oz. The three of us have not done this in a few weeks, okay? First, you were off on some gallivanting jaunt somewhere, yeah. All right? And then I went to an academic conference. So the three of us have not partaken of significant rouge discussions in weeks.
That's right.
Don't ever call it a single.
That's right. It's not the single White and Blue CFL podcast. It's the Rouge White and Blue CFL podcast.
Thank you.
Now that we've got that cleared up, let's get right into it. Let's get right to.
I missed you, Oz.
Thank you. Just trying to keep it rolling, right? Let's get right into the news. Let's talk about the big story, which, of course, is Daron Carter, now off the Saskatchewan Roughriders, released following a bye week by Chris Jones in a story that was headlined at the league's official site with, and I got to say, this busted me up, Jones, : we released a very good player. No joke. So, I also got down. I thought that was, you know, that was your typical generic kind of statement to the press. But we also have this wonderful thing called Twitter, where Daron Carter also described the incident. And here's the entire tweet, since I love this so much. He says, "So here you go, only saying it once. My teammate started calling me Saturday, asking me questions like, what happened, etc. I eventually text Coach Jones, quote, what's the deal? Why my teammates asking if I'm on the team, unquote. Get a call from him saying, quote, thanks for your service on both sides, unquote. Okay, so, Joe, I informed you earlier in the week of my intention to ask you this question. What's up in Saskatchewan?"
That's a heck of a good question.
Oh, thank you.
If you have any answers, I'd love to hear them, because I'm not getting very many.
I do. I have a theory. I have a theory on this. Okay.
You are more than welcome to fire that theory off, because it's probably as legitimate as anything else I've heard.
Oh, really? Okay. So you're just going to pass on this altogether. Anything to do with them reactivating Rob Bagg?
Maybe.
Anything to do with conflict of personality?
That's probably there too.
Yeah, see,
although it's interesting to me that with all the beat writers around the Riders, that nobody was talking about, hey, there's an issue going on here.
Right.
It sounds like Carter's getting on the bad side. He's over at defense now because they're the only coaches that could put up with him, because based off of some of the statements, it's like the defensive coaches were sad to see him go. The offensive coaches weren't. Just all sorts of weirdness going on with that. But all of a sudden, you know, the moment he's cut, it's like, oh, yeah, he was a bad dude. Everybody could see this coming. It's like, yeah, you could see that in a general sense, but don't you think you'd have like 2 or 3 weeks worth of, hey, this is going on again, this is happening, nothing. It was dead air, and then all of a sudden it's like he's cut. Oh yeah, he's a bad dude. He's been trouble for weeks, and It's like, where was that when it could have been of some use to people?
Well, yeah, it took everybody by surprise, and I think they were kind of covering tail with that. I mean, I remember he came out of the Alouettes, and I remember saying when he first joined this team that I'm going to be looking for this personality conflict last year. And it never manifested, and now here it is. Okay, I'll give you my theory on what's happening in Saskatchewan a bit later, but I want to go to Dr. Rouge here. Following up on this story, we have first heard, I believe, on Sunday night that the Alouettes, Argonauts, BC Lions, and Hamilton Tiger Cats were all interested in possibly at least talking to Mr. Carter, but then today on a morning show, Mike Sherman, coach of the Montreal Alouettes, said, the team won't be signing Daron Carter, which figures. Dr. Rouge, my question for you then is twofold. What's up in Saskatchewan? And if you're Daron Carter, which of these three teams remaining are you looking at most interestingly?
I'm going to take the second question and go with it first. I would sign with BC if Wally Buono wanted me, just so I could go into Saskatchewan or have them come to BC before the season is over and put up about 150 yards in receiving and stick it in their ear. Except Daron Carter has not really had one of those 150 yard passing game kind of, or receiving yard kind of games. If set aside the names, all right, just forget the names right now in terms of their star quality. If the three of us said, all right, we get to pick any five receivers right now in the CFL, line them up behind or alongside any of the quarterbacks we wanted, would we right now forget about what happened in the last 4 or 5 days? Would we right now say Daron Carter would definitely be one of the five receivers we would have picked? No questions asked. I don't think the five of us would have agreed on him being, absolutely guaranteed one of those five positions.
Do you take into account that he can play defense?
I think it's a very valid point if you're going to make an argument for Daron Carter. My first thought when this happened on Sunday night was that, or on Saturday night rather, my first thought was this is not a he got in trouble with some sort of legal issue and then they finally said enough's enough. My first thought on Saturday night honestly was that Chris Jones took a look at the situation on this team, realized the season is spiraling downward, and the release of Daron Carter does one of two things. It either says, we got rid of the cancer and he's now gone. Or if the season completely goes to heck because Carter couldn't be a teammate, he infected the entire clubhouse. And even with him gone, we couldn't put the pieces back together. To me, this is not a salary cap move. To me, this is our season spiraling out of control. And part of it is the fact that there are just too many big personalities on that team.
Or is it that Chris Jones just set the revolving door in motion when he took over this club more than 2 years ago and now he can't stop it?
Well, and that's the other thing. One of the best tweets that I saw was Travis Bond, who, as you guys know, was in Winnipeg last year, signed with Saskatchewan as one of their free agent picks, and was dumped after about like 3 minutes after preseason started. And his tweet, and I'm paraphrasing it just a touch, was, oh, I'm enjoying the popcorn on this one. Is Chris Jones over his head in terms of wearing all those hats with this franchise? Maybe he is. The reality is that they have not found the combination of players that work, and maybe more of a concern, it's not that they've necessarily got a group of players and see if they're successful. They seem to be doing a sort of plug and play and see what works and what doesn't work. And with BC maybe now turning the corner, here's a frightening question to ask if you're a Rough Riders fan. Could this team finish last?
Of course they could. Of course they could this point. Wow, I like that. I like the – we can't really call it a hot take now because this happened like a few days ago, but I like this first take CFL version. All right. Joe, are you going to commit to this? Is Chris Jones in over his head?
Well, the evidence doesn't look good for him so far.
Wow. Wow. You guys got a lot of guts.
You disagree with us?
I'm not willing to say it yet, but you gotta wonder. You gotta wonder. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, he's not in over his head. It's almost like he's got too much control and he's playing Madden. You know, I mean, honestly, every time you look at these and these guys coming in and joining the team and retiring or like getting traded by like Lemon or, you know, just coming and going and whatnot, you know, the big names and all this stuff. I mean, it feels like what I do when I play sim baseball. You know, every day I'll boot up the game and I'll make a few trades, you know, of name players, you know, because I have total control. You know, that's almost what it feels like to me.
And maybe that's what it comes down to, that Carter's personality was getting in the way. I read, and I forget which newspaper had mentioned this, but that essentially one of perhaps Carter's greatest sin was to sort of be in conflict with the offense coordinator, who is one of Chris Jones' buddies. And maybe McAdoo and Carter, and that just was a bridge too far.
Maybe, but again, I'm surprised that this was like a surprise, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe, let me throw the previous question at you as well. Okay, so here you are, you know, you're an available wide receiver. You've got at least three teams interested in you, the Argos, the Lions, and the Tiger Cats. Who are you looking at?
Argos, Lions, Ticats. Okay. Well, my thought process, if I had three offers on the table that are the same, right, which it's not going to be the case in Carter's case, but let's say I have that. I'm probably scratching Toronto simply because you're down to the third string quarterback. McClellan Bethel Thompson did have a fantastic game the last time he played. But that was also the first time he got significant action. So I wouldn't want to put, at this point in my career, my bread and butter in his hands quite yet. I mean, 6 weeks down the line, maybe we know something more, but right now we don't. Hamilton, I just don't feel like there's a fit for me there, simply because they have so much talent there. And Mazzoli does kind of make me second guess that thought a little bit, but who do I push out? I mean, they already got designated imports going on with receivers. It'd be kind of hard to know for sure if I'm going to get as much playing time as I want to. So I feel like BC is the better option because I still have Travis Lule there. Even if he goes down, Jonathan Jennings still could bounce back. And I get to compete head-to-head with the team that just got rid of me. So I think that those two – Lule and that are going to be the two things that make me go, BC is probably my best choice here.
Wow. Wow.
And look, with that defense being kind of another defensive back like Daron Carter.
Yeah.
And even simply having the versatility to be able to plug in like that, if things go from worst to worst, gives my head coach the ability to maybe dress one fewer backup defensive back and put another talented player into the lineup that might not have gotten there.
You wonder how that would work in BC though, because, you know, I've been decrying this the past few weeks on this show and for most of this season in my private life that, you know, Manny Arsenault is just not getting the ball at all this season. I mean, he got one touch last game in the first quarter. That was it. End of game for him. Mm-hmm. And so
you almost wonder if you need one more person that can draw the defense's attention away so that you have to make a choice between the two.
Yeah, that could be, in which case, yeah, there you get a mutually beneficial relationship. But I kind of like this picture you're painting. Daron Carter goes to the BC Lions. They squeak out Saskatchewan for the numbers four spot and then win the quote unquote East side of the table. and make the Grey Cup. That would be something to see in
now. It doesn't feel like to me that that's going to be a place he'll actually end up going. Mm-hmm. But given his circumstances and what I'm seeing, that's the choice I would make if I were him, all things being equal.
Okay. Well, so
I agree.
Two votes for BC Lions then. Also, when did this happen, Doc? Henry Burris was, of course, who went out as a champion in the CFL, recently got into the Temple University Hall of Fame.
I saw that today, and obviously, as always, you record this podcast on a Wednesday, that he has been named to the Temple University Athletics Hall of Fame and gets his name in, I don't know if it's a ring of honor or how they do it specifically at Temple, at one of their home games in October. So yeah, mm-hmm. Henry Burris, Temple University Hall of Fame.
I'm right. The pride of the Temple Owls program in the CFL, at least. Right. Okay. And, ticking off the boxes here. Okay. So I guess it was this week, right, Joe, that the teams first busted out in the CFL, the Diversity is Strength t-shirts. I believe that this week was the first week they ran this promotion. Am I right?
Yes, because the Ottawa, it will not have a home game in week 10 or 11. So the Montreal Ottawa game had the shirts. Now the full program is going to be weeks 10 and 11.
Right. So as they've been doing in recent years, the CFL once again is promoting their Diversity of Strength program. Interesting. I saw that not too long ago. Prime Minister Trudeau also made a statement on diversity as Canada's strength, which I thought was pretty interesting in relation to the CFL promotion.
I'm sure the Saudis were thrilled.
Well, one wonders how certain members of their neighbors feel. Considering what's happening in our nation, our nation's capital, you know, here's Mr. Trudeau making a nice speech in Ottawa, and certain gnarly things are happening in the United States capital. In any case, back to the point, which is, as Joe just mentioned, in the Ottawa-Montreal game, the players who were not named on the active roster, as well as the coaching staffs, were wearing the trademark Diversity is Strength t-shirts. So I guess what we're going to do right now is we're going to have Dr. Rouge read out at least the bulk of the official statement from the commissioner that was released, I believe, last Wednesday. So that would have been the 8th of June when we released our last podcast.
So, yeah, and that's why we're not going to go through the entire thing because, you know, A, it's a few days old, and B, this is also the second year of the campaign. But, you know, among the things that the commissioner or the commissioner's statement states is, for us, this is much more than a tagline. It is integral to what we cherish in our game, our league, and our country. Football is the ultimate team game. A team needs people of almost every shape, size, skill, and speed. All dedicated to doing their part for a play to succeed and for the group to advance. As well, our league has a long history of providing opportunities to players of diverse backgrounds and who in some cases have been denied those chances elsewhere. We are also proudly Canadian, and this belief that our individual differences can make the group stronger is something that has made our country, while also imperfect, the envy of much of the world. So to us, diversity is a cornerstone of our game, our league, and the place we call home.
Now, Joe, you said prior to the show that something particularly stuck out to you in this statement.
Yes. Give me just a second here, because there was something that stuck out to me. That's like, yep, I totally agree with that. It is kind of the pillar of my CFL fandom, to be honest, because something he said in the later on in the statement is, in our stadiums and on our social media channels, we want to send a clear message that even if you've never been to a game before, the CFL will not only accept you, it will celebrate you.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice. And as well, the league gave us t-shirts. And Mr. Pritchard is going to go pick those up at the Banjo Bowl.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you. thank you to everyone involved in the league. And I would say thank you to Joe for picking those up, but he's going to the Banjo Bowl. He doesn't need me to thank him. He's going to have too much fun.
I'm going to have a lot of fun. yeah, and I'll be picking those up from my buddy's house, and once I get back to the States, so as not to, you know, cost myself an arm and a leg in postage, it only cost me an arm to send those shirts out.
Only an arm? Oh, okay. Maybe
we should... Right or left arm?
Yeah, who needs that anyway?
Mm-hmm. So Oz gets the left arm, I get the right arm.
Okay. Maybe. Is that the throwing arm? I guess we should – maybe we should start the Diversity of Strength Challenge where all three of us have to pose wearing only the T-shirt outside in, let's say, November.
That would work.
Yeah, especially
– you're in California.
Especially here in Southern California.
It'll be 75 degrees.
Talk about home field advantage, man. In any case, let's
well, Doc, at least he didn't say January.
Well, the season will be over by then, right? So
yeah, and of course in January, California will be 50. Ooh,
right, yeah.
You know?
So that's
well,
that's
the thing is, he'll run inside the moment that happens.
Oh yeah, terrified, terrified. In any case, all right, now that we've gotten that out of the way, whatever that was, let's talk last week's games. Now, Dr. Rouge, you played hooky from the show, but I assume you did not play hooky from your CFL feed because there are only three games. No excuses.
There were. Unfortunately, I missed the Thursday game with BC and Edmonton.
Oh!
Yes, the transportation from Washington back to Pittsburgh, better known as Amtrak, got delayed because of some tomfoolery by one of the people on board, not
wild.
Me, thankfully. And so I was able to sort of on my phone keep an eye on what was going on, but I did not see the game, except to say it certainly sounds like DC's defense in the second half really seemed to clamp down. If my memory's being kind to me, Edmonton scored only 3 points in the second half.
Yes, BC outscored in that second half 21-3. shortly after I pronounced that Edmonton would easily cover the 3.5 points offered in this game. Last week when we did the show, I stated that the conditions of the game, namely playing a night game in Vancouver, might give the Lions an advantage. And I don't know, to me, that was really what made the difference. Even though Edmonton was playing with two more days rest, they just kind of shut down in the second half. They were just not there. But, Joe, perhaps you could put a different spin on this for me. Was there something else going on here besides biochemistry?
Maybe the fact that I didn't listen to my gut when I should have. Maybe that was a thing. Because... my gut's been giving me all sorts of weird guesses in the past couple of weeks that have been like, no, that's probably a bad idea. That's probably a bad idea. Hey, that's a horrible idea, but I'm actually going to do that one because I haven't done the other ones. And all of them have turned to crap. And then, of course, last week we were talking, and had this game been on Saturday night, I'm probably taking BC because
right.
I had this feeling that it was going to happen. But no, I talked myself out of it using things like logic and 5 days and all that sort of crap. So that means that, of course, that none of that would matter and BC would be the stronger team in the second half. So, yep, that makes perfect sense to me right now.
Nah, you should have listened to me. I was more vehement about this game than almost anything else last week. So you should have listened to me. When I proclaimed BC season over in the third quarter of that Calgary game, you should have been listening to me because that's when they come back and squeak into the playoffs. Right. Okay. Well, let's just go past this one. Are we willing to accept this as a blip from the Eskimos? They've been playing a bit shorthanded lately, but they also haven't been running up a tremendous amount of points as compared to that first quarter of the season. Is this just a blip for Edmonton? They get Montreal next week, so we won't be able to tell much. What do you think, Joe?
I must say they're probably on the very edge of me not giving them the benefit of the doubt anymore.
Okay.
But because they've had a couple of – they haven't really blown people away
right.
this year.
Right.
The first week was the crazy rain, thunder,
right.
Bomber, backup quarterback, turning out to be actually a pretty good game. And then they face planted against Hamilton, which the Bombers did the next week too.
And then the Lions face planted against them.
Right. They basically had the opposite of what happened in week three happened right. to them this week. But then they lost to Toronto, beat Toronto by a point when Toronto was struggling, and had a, let's see, bye week, beat the heck out of Montreal, which isn't surprising anybody, and barely squeaking by Saskatchewan, who's got problems of their own right now. So, yeah, I can see why people are starting to think, yeah, this might not be as strong of a team as we were thinking they were.
Yeah, right around Labor Day might be a bit of a turn southward in the standings for the Eskimos going into.
I mean, if Calgary is going to go 18-0, I mean, if that's going to happen anyway, well, at least they can take the Eskimos on the way through.
No, they're going to lose at Montreal, and then the Canadiens' heads are going to explode trying to explain it on ESPN.com that Johnny Manziel beat the undefeated Calgary Stampeders. In any case, okay, let's go on to the next game. Hamilton Blue Bombers 29, Hamilton Tiger Cats 23. Despite Joe's cynicism, I thought this was a pretty impressive win by Winnipeg, but I'd like to accentuate the negative and get Dr. Rouge into this anyway. So, to me...
I'm the negative?
No, but Joe can Joe can be allowed to glory for his team, but... You're going to have to be negative about Hamilton here because they were in this game and twice stupid penalties kept drives alive for Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Both of those times they ended in field goals to start the game, to end the game, and 6 points was the difference in this game. Is Hamilton playing, let's say, not so smart, let's say impetuously? Do you think this is infectious? Is this going to keep happening? They can't keep afford to losing these games against the West, I don't think.
No, you know, the thing that baffles me about Hamilton is they held their own against Calgary in week one. They won in Edmonton in week two, and they blasted Winnipeg in week three. And I think collectively the three of us thought, all right, there is a clear best team in the East,
right.
No questions asked. No questions asked. And all of a sudden, this team is, I think it's lost four of their last five, if I'm remembering correctly. And, you know, I look at Hamilton and I think, all right, if they are going to rebound and be the team that the three of us at the start of the season thought that perhaps they might be, what has to happen? And yeah, you can say they got to play with more discipline. Well, every team's got to play with more discipline. There still is something, and I know he is the sort of convenient target at this point. There is still something about, Jeremiah Mazzoli in crunch time that I think people are still unsure about. But to me, the bigger concern about Hamilton is this defense that, again, on paper we thought was going to be the best in the East when the season started. At times they take a series off, they make a tackle, they get a penalty, a drive continues, and all of a sudden they don't seem to really, bam, get that stop when it counts. And, they've got to turn that around, especially because I think now it's becoming maybe much clearer that there are only going to be two teams in the East that make the playoffs again. And if you say that Ottawa is the best team in the East right now, and probably is, then if Toronto somehow turns its season around, Hamilton could find itself on the outside looking in again. That's what bothers me about Hamilton is that, I want to see that killer instinct. I want to see them get a lead, keep the lead, really hammer on a team. They did that the first couple of weeks, yes. And that's not there now.
Yeah.
That's not there now.
Yeah, crazily enough, it's not. And you were talking about the pressure applied by the defense. I mean, here we go. Zero interceptions, two sacks, one fumble, one forced fumble and fumble recovery. So, I mean, yeah, there's just not that pressure. And, Nichols, I mean, how many, touchdowns does this guy have to throw before you start pressuring him more often? Okay, so Joe wants to take the cynical opinion that the Bombers didn't blow it. Did the Tiger Cats blow this game, Dr. Rouge?
I don't think so. I think on paper you would say that the the best, that the better of the two teams won. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, I think we still believe that the West is superior to the East. This was a game that I think if Winnipeg had lost, I think we would have said, what the heck's going on here? You know, you've got a team that's struggling and you took care of it. You know, I kind of look at it though with a slightly bigger picture, and that is, I don't think Calgary is invincible, but I look at the teams that are in that, say, 3-4 to 5-3 record, most basically every other team except Toronto and Montreal, and I say, which one of them is going to beat them? And I just don't think that on any given Thursday, Friday, or Saturday right now, any team in the league is going to beat Calgary unless Calgary beats itself.
Winnipeg.
Does that mean they're going 18-0? I don't think that means they're going 18-0. But right now, who's going to beat Calgary? And I look at Winnipeg. I think maybe that's the team.
Yep.
Maybe.
Winnipeg might get lucky. Winnipeg could get lucky. Look, this team is averaging what? Almost 20, what is it? I figured it out today. Like 29 points a game, maybe. Mm-hmm. No, it's in the 30s. It's like 32 points a game or something like this. They could get lucky against Calgary. Yep. Bam, bam, have a couple of quick scores and then just keep going. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, why not? One time? Sure, why not? Twice? I don't know. But one time? Sure, why not? Okay, Joe. I'm going to refuse to let you be negative. I just want to say one thing about your Bombers. Look, you must remember, it wasn't that long ago when, after a game like this, we'd be picking apart the Bombers' mistakes. We'd be saying, oh, here's where they blew their opportunity. Here's where they lost. In this game, they didn't blow any opportunities. They won this game. This was a great game for your Bombers. Say it, Joe.
Yeah, maybe it's a bit harsh by saying they didn't blow it. But I did see that they were up 26-10 more than halfway through the third quarter, and Hamilton still had a shot to win at the very end. The defense all of a sudden kind of went away for a bit, and it actually was a nice offensive drive that only got the 3 points to put them up 29-23, but ate a lot of the clock and made it,
yes,
and made it into the final drive. So they didn't actually, you know, they didn't really, you know, they didn't really blow it per se, but that's a little bit too close for comfort for me when they're cruising late in the third quarter and all of a sudden Mazzoli's got the ball with the chance to put this team ahead. That really didn't sit all that well with me.
Well, they kept cool, Joe, and you know what they say, no lead is safe. But they did the best they could, and they kept that lead, and they kept cool. They didn't turn it over. They extended the drive. The Tiger Cats did not keep cool. Got a couple of penalties. Bam, magic. Not so much magic, but skill and talent. Okay, Joe, give us your game balls. Offensive, defensive MVP for the Bombers in this game. What do you like?
This is going to sound very cliche, but Andrew Harris and Adam Bechtel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, gee. Come on, mm-hmm. Joe. I'm going to disagree. Of course. Very nice. Okay. Thank you very much. Good to see things happening in Winnipeg. And I think they're the second best team in the league, Doctor. I do.
I agree. I do. Right now.
Right
yes.
now they are. They are. Yeah, it's too bad.
We kept saying when Edmonton's defense starts to get players back 1 week and then another guy the next week, another guy the next week. Yeah, let's hold off on dismissing Edmonton's loss at BC as more than a blip right now. But if we're 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now, when basically that starting defensive unit comes together, if they get whacked in consecutive weeks by Calgary, yeah, it's time for Gatorade bottles or Gatorade jugs all across the Eskimos bench to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, it seems to me.
Not to mention two of spades.
Oh. Okay.
It was a two of spades on. It was a card. It was a two of spades card on top of the Gatorade jug.
Okay. Yes. Right. Okay. Taking care of that business. Here we go. Ottawa Red Blacks 24, Montreal Alouettes 17. You know, I gotta say, and Joe knows this. I love the stats, but this game is enough to make me hate the stats. I mean, in all seriousness. I mean, you know, I watched this game from start to grueling finish, and You know, then I looked at the numbers afterwards, couldn't believe it. Trevor Harris, 44 of 54 for 487 yards. The Red Blacks had two players with over 110 total yards on offense, another four guys with at least 70 total yards of offense, and the Red Blacks still needed a last-minute touchdown to beat the CFL's worst team with a quarterback who was concussed for half the game. All right, let me go to Dr. Rouge first. What did you get out of this game, besides the fact that it was 2-1 at the end of the first quarter, which you had to like?
Which was quite good. Ottawa played down to its opponent. You know, and if
they're experts at that.
And Joe, I was just going to say the same thing. They do that too much and too often for me to really begin to feel comfortable. You know, again, if Toronto's going to have an awful season and if Montreal's going to have an awful season, then look, those are 4, 5, 6 wins that Ottawa has to just absolutely pick up. Thank you very much, and move ahead. If they're struggling to beat those sorts of teams, and then they're going to try to get up for, you know, whoever they face in the West, and then whoever they might ultimately face if they get as far as the Grey Cup, boy, I'll tell you that's a recipe for that can get you in trouble. I don't like the playing down to the opponent, and I saw that again this past week.
Yeah, I felt validated when I looked at CFL.ca, I believe it was yesterday, because last week I had talked about the inconsistency of the Red Blacks. And so I felt really validated when I saw on the official website today that, you know, there was a story about the Red Blacks' maddening inconsistency. But yeah, you guys just nailed it. Yeah, they're playing down to the level of the opponents. All right, so let's talk a little Alouettes football. And the controversy that we didn't expect we'd be – the particular controversy that we didn't expect we'd be getting out of Johnny Canadian football. Mr. Manziel finally got his first touchdown drive in the CFL, deciding to run on 3 of 4 plays once they got into Red Blacks territory. And fumbled the ball on his own goal line. Fumble, touchdown, Christian Maté. Now, Johnny took a pretty nasty blow to the head. As he went down, you know, I don't know. It's almost like leading with the head almost on his part. After the game, we got a tweet from journalist Devin Heru. I don't know if you're supposed to pronounce that H or not. The quote from his Twitter account was, after speaking to the Montreal Alouettes medical staff, Johnny Manziel did go through the concussion protocol and receive the necessary treatment following the play in the third quarter. Well, you can't blame an American for being a bit cynical about this. He certainly didn't look too good after that. And I think in American ball these days, they would have held him out a little bit longer. Joe, any takes from you on the Alouettes in general, on Manziel's play, on anything, and especially anything positive, if you got anything?
I wish I did.
Oh, damn, you're killing me.
Well, when you're on your fifth quarterback in, what, 10 weeks, that's not a good sign. I would say that it's been pointed out by a few people on Twitter today that it kind of feels like the league sometimes has a double standard when it comes to Johnny Manziel. Now, it's hard to deny that. It's also hard to prove that either, because way back when we were first starting to talk about him becoming a CFL player, he had to sit down with the league. They went through a lot of backroom meetings. They came up with a plan, things that he would have to do to stay in the league, that sort of thing. Whereas you may not have had a player with his past, but not his, stature, may not have gotten that opportunity. But it's hard to say without knowing the specifics as to whether that opportunity would be afforded to somebody else or not. So it's really kind of hard to say, but it does feel rather unusual. And then when he's on the field, after having Mike Riley pulled last year for concussion protocol when it didn't look like he had been hurt at all, having the concussion protocol not kick in after such an obvious blow, something that even amateur armchair doctors could say, yeah, that didn't look all that good. You should check that guy out. For them not to have done that and then have him go back to the game, yeah, I that one's a little bit harder to defend.
Yeah, if this had been on the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I think he would have gotten a much longer look. But, you know, the part of this is that the Alouettes – I mean, yeah, part of it is that the CFO wants to sell this game. Even though it wasn't on ESPN2, the game this week is on ESPN2, which is great. You're going to see the Alouettes smoked by the Eskimos there in America. But even beyond that, I mean, look, the Alouettes, what are they going to do? Put an Austin Apodaca? Come on. Come on. Dr. Ruiz, you got anything nice to say about my Alouettes?
Yeah, you know what? I thought – again, they're not going to score a lot of points. I get that. But I like the fact that when I watched Manziel sort of scramble, run around, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that sort of improvisation of his, that's going to get some receivers open. That's going to extend a drive. Get the offensive line straightened out. Get a couple of good quality receivers in to help take some of the pressure off. Maybe this team could turn a bit of a corner next season. I agree, though. I did not like the fact that he came back in that game after he got hit the way he did. I thought he should have sat that out. It would not surprise me to see him sit a couple of weeks now. I mean, look, Zach Calero sat six for what was a minor hit to the head in comparison to what Manziel got. And, you know, and Calaris was out 6 weeks.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting because, you know what? I bet he starts. I bet he starts against Edmonton.
I think they announced that it's Antonio Pipkin this week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, look, on that note, we got to take a break. We'll talk next week's games in a moment. For lack of a better excuse, I got to put a lasagna in the oven. We'll be right back with the Rouge White and Blue. Next week's games. Is it what, week 10 next week?
Yes.
It is. Scary thought.
That's insane. It's also this insane that the NFL hasn't even started yet. And we're in week 10.
Who cares?
I know your view on this, Dr. Ruiz. All right. Let's talk CFL football, proper football. All right. Game one. Ottawa Red Blacks are 6.5 point underdogs at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The over-under is 53.5. I'm going to let Joe go first on this one because my comments are short and sweet. Joe, what are you thinking in this game?
That's quite a spread. It might be a little bit too much of a spread, but I do think the Bombers win this game. Because as we talked about in the last segment, Ottawa likes to play to their level of their opponent. That's a little bit easier to do when you're playing down to an opponent. When you have to try to play up to an opponent, it could be a little bit difficult. After what Ottawa did last week, it's hard for me to imagine them putting it all together the next week and going out and beating a superior team in their own barn.
Yeah, it's a Pyrrhic victory for the Red Blacks last week. I'm just going to say this. I'm glad you pointed out playing up to the opponent because it would be pretty tough for the Red Blacks right now to match 33.5 points per game plus the number one team in interceptions and quarterback sacks. I mean, the Bombers are getting it done on offense and defense. I'll take the Bombers minus the touchdown. Dr. Ruiz, what do you think?
Trevor Harris won't throw for almost 500 yards. They won't control. No, seriously, they won't control the ball for, what was it, 38 minutes or 39 minutes, whatever it was, last week against Montreal. Winnipeg wins this game. This game could have a lot of points in it. You know, this could be one of those, like, you know, 34-31 kind of games, but I'd be going with the home team this week.
Well, let's see. The over-under on this is, so they're expecting around 27-21 thereabouts. Around 30-23 is what they're expecting in this game. That's imaginable, I guess. Although, I mean, the Red Blacks had to throw for almost, had to go for over 500 yards of offense just to score 24 last week. So, I don't know. To score 33, they're going to have to put up at least, you know, 700 yards or so. All right, second game, we got BC Lions 2.5 point favorites. 2.5 point favorites at Toronto. Who wants this one? Oh, I'm going to give this to the Toronto fan. Go ahead, Doctor. What do you
say? This is not going well for Toronto. Look, Toronto has won two games this season. They basically played a quarter against Edmonton and won a game. And they needed one of those surreal comebacks to beat Ottawa a week ago before, or technically 2 weeks ago now, because they had a break, a bye week. I just, the Argos, I don't see a team that right now I think I would feel comfortable at all believing they could put a game together and win. BC's got that energy going with Travis Lule. I know it's a long trip across the country, etc. Nah, I'm not listening to all that. I'm taking the Lions in this game.
No kidding. Okay, Joe, what do you think?
Well, with BC having the 9-day break, that travel might not be such a hard thing to have happen to them. Doc kind of talked me out of believing that Toronto could sustain that little boost they got at the end of the last game, so I'll go BC as well.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, well, I'm making this my quote-unquote upset special of the week. You know, I said before I was losing my faith in the church of statistics, but here I got some real easy stats for you. All right. BC is 0-4 away. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're 3-0 at home, and all three of those games were night games on the West Coast. Okay. They're not going to win this game. I'm a dogmatic little fellow right now, and I'm going to stay on the anti BC train. And I'm going to say that Toronto is going to win this game. I mean, what? The East is playing, what, around less than 300 ball against the West this year? That can't continue. That can't continue. Toronto wins.
Well, it could.
Well, of course. Of course. You know, come on. It will continue. Montreal, 16.5 point underdogs at the Edmonton Eskimos. I'm not sure that's enough points. You know, I mean, look, the last time these two teams played, it was the first game after the Alouettes had gotten Manziel, but the last game in which Vernon Adams started, and the Eskimos sacked him 6 times, and Riley had 4 touchdowns and no interceptions, and the Eskimos won by 21. So I think that the Eskimos, yeah, they're going to cover 16.5. What do you think on this one, Joe? Come on, be pessimistic. Go ahead.
You don't believe that this will be the Antonio Pipkin game?
Okay, Antonio Pipkin. I'm going to look this up because I know literally zip about this dude. I thought that was a Woody Allen character. No joke.
Zip no joke. Is the key word, as in zip chance that Montreal wins this game.
Okay, Antonio Pipkin played college football at Tiffin.
In Ohio.
Oh, you've heard of it. Okay.
Really?
Now I'm looking at Tiffin. Okay. So they have the main campus is in Tiffin, Ohio. The secondary campus is the University of Bucharest in Romania.
So, say what now?
So Tiffin is probably the best football team in Romania. But I don't know much about Mr. Pipkin other than he's not going to cover 16.5 points. All right, let's talk about this one. This might be an interesting game, might not. Calgary Stampeders, 7-point favorites at Saskatchewan Roughriders. Who wants this one first? Of course, Rob Bagg might be returning for the Roughriders in this game. Is that really enough? Dr. Rouge, ..
Oh, my. Can you imagine if some Calgary receiver, I don't care which one, goes off for 175 to 200 yards receiving and about 3 touchdowns. Oh, lands alive. Look, Calgary's not going to jump out to like that 1,000-point lead like they did in the first quarter the last time these two teams played there. This, you know, again, I want to look at Saskatchewan and I want to say, all right, they've got the talent. Yeah, I think they do. They've got the coaching. Yeah, I think they do. They came within a few seconds of getting to the Grey Cup last year. I understand. Too much disarray right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Calgary is like that team that just seems to show up for work, does its job, go home, no controversy. You almost forget that they're there, in fact. Calgary wins this game. I have no idea if they win by 4 or 14, but they win this game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joe, what are you thinking?
I can't get a gauge on the Riders because every time I think that I'm being overly pessimistic on them because I'm a Bomber fan, they prove me right to be pessimistic until they do something really, really strange like knock off Hamilton in back-to-back weeks. And then back to, oh, well, maybe I'm underestimating them. And then I overestimate them until, you know, a couple weeks later when it's like, oh, they just cut one of the best receivers and they're facing Calgary this week. So I'm going to take Calgary, and I wouldn't be completely shocked if the Riders won this just to spite me at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I'd really like to believe in Saskatchewan in that, you know, Chris Jones working the magic here in, you know, the Regina fans spurring their team on to victory. But nah, I'm just not buying it. After giving up 18 points last week to Calgary, I'm going to do the stat. I think Calgary is going to – sure, I'll even take Calgary to cover this touchdown. Sure, why not? They're going to win by at least 7 points. We'll do the stat. Calgary is now allowing exactly 14 points per game through – no, not quite exactly, but around 14 points per game, which means that they are on pace for 252 points during this season allowed, and the record is 302. Right. Okay. Let's put a bow on this one. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. Dr. Rouge, send us out with some words of wisdom.
The home teams have won 6 of the last 7 games played in the CFL. The last time a road team won, Montreal lost by 39.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic stat. Sorry, I don't know what that means.
I just had to.
This is what Joe would call a very small sample size, I think. Joe?
True.
Joe, what do you got for us as we close out this show?
Yeah, 7 games is a very small sample size.
Really? That's all you're going to go with? Okay. no Go Bombers? Go Bombers. Come on.
Well, of course, but that goes without saying.
It doesn't go without saying, Joe. It doesn't. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the Antonio Pipkin game. And so for my fellow Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast co-hosts who are looking just as forward to that as I am, we'll sign off for this week. For Joe Pritchard and Dr. Rouge, I'm Oz Davis. This has been the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast. Enjoy the games.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.